July 2nd, 1907. July 11th, 1907. Sanitarium, California. July 2nd, 1907. To the Battle Creek Church. I am urged to say to those who have had the light of the Word, but who fail to walk according to the Word, your failure to act upon the light is imperiling your eternal welfare. The Lord knows all about the needs and trials of His people. Through affliction, He seeks to point them to heaven. There they will know no disappointment or trial or grief. In the Word of God, we are encouraged to study the character of the world's Redeemer. He is the pattern of every man in his work of character building. The Son of God was tempted in all points like as we are, but He resisted every temptation. Through prayer, He obtained the power to become victor in the struggle with the powers of Satan. In the groves and mountains, the Savior spent whole nights in prayer for Himself and His disciples, and for those for whom His disciples would labor. Christ's followers are to find strength where their Master found it. The world hides a man from himself. It conceals from him his dangers by shutting out the prospect of a future life and by constantly appealing to his human senses. By thus keeping in his mind only the interests of this life, it seeks to make him a creature of time. But fixing his eyes upon the eternal world, man sees the cross of Christ and the death of the Son of God to save a perishing world. Christ left the courts of heaven, laid aside his kingly crown and royal robe, and came to live the life of the poor. He subjected himself to all the temptations common to humanity, that man might look upon the Prince of Heaven and see in him a perfect exhibition of the conquest of sin. In all trials and temptations and trials, Christ sinned not, neither was guile found in his mouth. He clothed his divinity with humanity, but in his teaching and ministry, his divinity was clearly manifest. On one occasion, Christ was moved to condemn. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and in the day of judgment than for thee. Matthew 11, verse 21 to 24. Here is a wonderful statement. The cities that have had the most done for them and yet do not yield to the evidences of truth are rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit. They are refusing the great light shining amid their moral darkness. I am instructed that one place which will be classed with those where many mighty works have been done, and where the people have turned from light and evidence, is Battle Creek. Battle Creek has been the seat of rebellion among a people to whom the Lord has given great light and special opportunities. But the light has been discarded for the privilege of pleasing self and of following the unsanctified will. Minds and characters that might have been molded and fashioned after the divine similitude have been marred and stunted by self-serving. The opportunities that God has given whereby men might secure His help and favor have been neglected. And every place that has turned from light and evidence falls under the same condemnation. Woe unto those who, having received great light, having seen manifestations of the powers of God, and having acknowledged this light and this power as from God, have turned from the light and refused to accept the evidence. To those, as to the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, the words are spoken. If the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. If the people of these cities had accepted the message, exercised themselves unto repentance, and carried the light of truth to other cities, thousands of souls would have been converted as a result. Now Christ will take humble men and reveal to them the great and precious truths for these last days. These he will use in carrying to completion his work in the earth. Surrounding every soul, there is an influence either for or against truth and righteousness. He that is not for me, Christ said, is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Influence is an important talent. Used on the side of Christ, it becomes a power unto life eternal.
The faculty of speech is a precious talent. Like the talent of influence, it conveys either light or darkness to those about us. Sanctified to God, it becomes the means of imparting the grace of Christ. God designs that our knowledge of the truth shall be to men a savor of life unto life. The highest employment of the powers of speech is that of imparting divine truth. Wherever the audience may be, whoever may compose that audience, Christ's witness is to speak the plain, unvarnished truth. He is to minister grace to his hearers. His words will be in harmony with the teaching of Christ. The soul who is truly converted will have his lips touched with the sacred fire of cleansing. To every individual he meets, he will find an opportunity of speaking the good news of salvation. He believes, therefore he utters the sentiments of his heart. He stands as the oracle of God, speaking to men the words of life and salvation. No one will mistake his position. No one will doubt on which side he stands. He stands as Christ's witness, consecrated, set apart, to declare to others the character of the Redeemer. My brethren and sisters, lift him up, the risen Savior. Lift him up as you plead before God in prayer. Signed, Ellen G. White.